Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf chaf, and we're going to start from Yud Tes Amid Beis, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara begins with a braisa, Tonu Rabbanon, Shnayim Chasumen Al Hashdar Umesu. This braisa in the beginning sounds very similar to our Mishnah. You'll recall the Mishnah back on Yud Ches Amid Beis dealt with a situation where you have Edom that came into Bezin, that acknowledged that the signatures on Ishtar were theirs, Ksav Yadeinu Huzeh. However, they said that when we signed Ishtar, Anusim Hayinu, Ketanim Hayinu, Psuli Edus Hayinu. So our Mishnah said, Hari Elu Ne'amonim, if there's no other Raya, Edus, evidence, vis-a-vis these signatures, then Apesha Osar Hu Apesha Hitir. These Edom that say that these were our signatures. However, we were disqualified at the time for whatever reason, they're believed. However, if you have external evidence, other Edom or other Shtarois that have the evidence of the Chsimoisa Edom, so you don't need to come on to these two Edom that are saying that these are our signatures, then they're not Neman. So you see that this Braisa that we're going to learn now is very similar in structure. Tanu Rabbanan Shnayim Chasumen Al Hashdar. Two people were signed on the Shtar for Mesu, and then they passed away. Not that they passed away right after they signed the Shtar. They might have passed away 10 years later. But the point is, they are no longer around. And now there's a fight between the Malve and the Love, or the Mocher and the Lokeach. Is this a kosher Shtar? Is it not a kosher Shtar? Uba'u Shnayim Menashuk. Two strangers came in from outside, the Yomru, Yodanu Sheksav Yodam Hu. We knew those two people that signed the Shtar. We witnessed them signing Shtaris many times in the past, and we can testify, yes, these are their bona fide signatures, these are not counterfeit, nothing to worry about. However, Avol, one big but. The but is, Anusim Hoyu, Ketanim Hoyu, Psuli Edis Hoyu. We knew them so well that we knew that at the time that they signed the Shtar, they were doing it under terrible duress, where someone was holding a gun to their heads. Or Ketanim Hoyu. We're talking about 10 years ago. At that time, they were still Ketanim. They were only 12 years old. They were not Bar Mitzvah yet. Or Psuli Edis Hoyu. At that time, they were either Kroivim or they were Mesachin. Bekuvia, Rashi said yesterday, they were gamblers, and so therefore, they were Psulim. So although we can verify that these are their authentic signatures, but when they signed, they were not kosher Edom, or they were under duress. So says the Gemara, says the Brais HaReilu Ne'amonim. If that's the only proof that we have, that these are the signatures of those two Edom, then they are believed, Hapesha Osar, Hu Hapesha Hitter, and therefore the Shtar will be worthless, because I have no other evidence as to these signatures. However, the Imyesh Edim, Shiksav Yodim Huzeh, if there are witnesses that these are the bona fide signatures of those two Edim, Osho Yiksav Yodim Yoitzim Mokam Acher, Mishtar Shekor Olav Ir Er, or that we're able to go and prove their signatures from a another shtar, where that shtar I know is an authentic shtar, because a year ago or 5 years ago somebody questioned the authenticity of the signatures on that shtar, and the Bezdin decided, yes, that those signatures are authentic. Based on that, I can use those as the model to prove that these chsimis on this shtar are good. I compare the two to each other. I put one on top of the other, if you will, and I look through the light. Wow, they look virtually identical. So, what's the din? Then, ein elu ne'amonim, I don't believe the first pair, because I don't need to come on to their testimony, since I have other testimony or other evidence to back up that these signatures are legit. That's what it says in the Brice, and the Brice, as you notice, is very, very similar to our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asks, you're saying, Hari, Elu Ne'amonim, that means, I'm sorry, Ein Elu Ne'amonim. Ein Elu Ne'amonim means that the first peer of Edom that came and said, yes, we recognize the signatures. However, Anusim Hoyu, or Psulim Hoyu, or Ktanim Hoyu, Ein Nemanim, those two witnesses are not believed. Why they're not believed? Because I don't need their Edus. I have Edus of the other peer that came in and said that these, that this shtar is fine. Or I've compared the chasimos on this shtar to the chasimos on a pre-existing shtar, and I see that they're the same. So in those cases, we don't believe the first pyramid. That's the end of the braisa. So now the Gemara is medayik. Since we say we do not believe the first pair of Edim, what does that mean? That means that we don't believe them to go and passel, to disqualify those two Edim that signed originally 10 years ago. If we don't believe them, that means that we're saying that the shtar is a good shtar, because we have already authenticated the signatures from other sources. Do you now say that this shtar is like a bona fide 100% shtar, and we can go and collect on the basis of this shtar? Via my treyu treyninu. L'chayra, I have a case of two Edom against two Edom. What are the two Edom against two Edom? Rashi says the last line, the Edia shtar shtayim, those two that signed on the shtar 10 years ago, those are two Edom, by their signing, as we had in the Gemara the other day, all Edom HaChasumen al Ashtar Kemisha Nechkara Edusan Bebezdin. That's like Hagodas Edus. So they're saying that this Shtar was kosher, proper, fine, legitimate, etc. You have new two Edom that are saying, no. Psulim Hoyu. At the time that they signed the Shtar, they were not kosher Edom. They were Kroivim, they were Psulim, they were Tanim, what have you. So therefore what I have is really a classic case of two against two. Since it's two against two, l'chayra they should go and neutralize each other, and now I have no edus whatsoever. And that being the case, says the Gemara, how can I go and use this shtar to be gove the choiv, to go and have the malva collect from the loive? The whole essence of the shtar is only because of the edim that are signed down below. And those are fine, nice guys. Two edim. However, I have two edim that say no, that this shtar is possible, because the two Edom that signed on it, they were psulim. So therefore this shtar should now be nothing, should be kind of in no man's land. How can you go and be goyva? It sounds like from the braisa, ein elin nemanim, they not believe the first pair of Edom that challenged the authenticity of the shtar. By challenging the authenticity of the Edom, the qualifications of the Edom, sounds like they're not believed, and therefore the shtar is a good shtar. The shtar should not be a good shtar, because the shtar is only good because of the original two Edom that signed on it. But there are two Edom that are now challenging that first pair of Edom. So it's two against two, and therefore the shtar should just remain in never-never land. And we should go like the famous rule, you want malvi, you want to collect from the loive, hamoitzich hameir alavaraya. This shtar you cannot collect on. It's two against two, so you got to find other evidence or other edim. So how can you go and be goyve? Rav Sheshe. So Rav Sheshe says, Zoysimeris, from this braisa we see a very important rule, and that is hakchosha tchilas hazomihi. Anytime you have two edim that are makchish each other, two against two, it's like ashtikal hazomim. The word hascholes hazoma is lav dafka. We don't mean it's the beginning of hazoma. We mean it's ke'en. It's like a shtikel hazoma. So what does it mean that it's like a shtikel hazoma? What does that mean? Says the Gemara on the top of Chof Omid Aleph, top line. Ukishem she'ein mazim nesa edim ele b'fneyam. Kach ein makhishem nesa edim ele b'fneyam. Just like if you want to do hazoma, you have to do it in front of the two Edom that you're being mazim, so too when you're being makhish, it has to be b'fnei Edom that you're being makhish. Now what does it mean that you're mazim or makhish the Edom b'fnei? So the Rashi on the top tells us that we learn from the din of a shor that went and gored someone, that you cannot simply go and paskin in Bezdin. In other words, you have the person who was injured, Nebuch. He is the plaintiff in the case, and he brought a case against the owner of the shor. So it says in the pasuk, v'hu ad biv olav. What means vua and bevalav? Rashi brings the Gemara Bava Kama, yovei balashor v'yamed alashor. You cannot go and simply have a case in absentia. You have to have the all parties in the courtroom when people are either presenting their arguments and or when they're presenting their edim, their evidence. And so therefore, in the case of edim zamamim, we know what edim zamamim are. Two edim that came and said, we know that there was a halva between Reuven and Shimon Tuesday morning in Rabbi Fohan's Bis Medrash. It was right after the daf, and we saw that Reuven lent money to Shimon, and therefore Shimon owes that money. Two other edim say, what are you talking about? How do you know any of this? Number one, you were in Chicago that morning, and number two, there was no daf at Rabbi Fohan's that morning because it was all done via Zoom. So you, edim, are shakronim. Now the reason why they're called edim zamamim is that they weren't even there. It could be that in fact there was a loan from Reuven to Shimon, not after the daf, because there was no daf there in the shul, but after davening, fine. And even if there was a daf, but you guys, you weren't there, you were in Chicago, you weren't in New York. So how can you go and testify? So that's the din of edim zamamim. So Rashi tells us, what normally would you do to the edim zamamim? Since they wanted to go and take away $100 from Shimon and give it to Reuven by their testimony, they have to pay the $100. We're going to be ma'anish them. You can only do that if they are there in person. You cannot go and simply say, well, I know that these two edim were in Chicago and then be done them in absentia. They have to be there. You see the top Rashi. Kishem she'im ma'zimen ho'edim el b'fneim, shariheim bo'im l'chayvon, l'kidei l'oinshan, o'y nefesh, o'y mamoin. The second pair of edim are challenging them, and they want to, by their testimony, go and cause them to be punished, either nefashis, if, for instance, the first pair of edim were testifying by a ritzicha chas v'sholem, that murder, or mamoin in our case. You gotta be there. Can't be done in absentia. So the same thing says our Gemara Kach in Machish and next Rashi, Afil Levat Leidusan. If the second pair of Edom want to go and be Machish, the first pair of Edom, and say that those Edom, Anusim Hayu, Opsuli Edus Hayu, Ktanim Hayu, they gotta be there. Unfortunately, both of them passed away already, like the Brisa said, so they're not present. And we have a situation where you cannot be machish them. That's what Rav Sheshe said. That's the reason why the Brisa says the first pair that are challenging the edus that signed on it years ago, ain't nemanim. Why are they not neman? Because they can be machish them from today to tomorrow. All of the hakosha is meaningless, says Rav Sheshe. You gotta be there on the spot. And the Edom have mukhoshim, those that are being challenged, are Nebuch, have already passed away. So that being the case, that's why the Brisa says that this shtar is once again a good shtar, because although we have challenged the veracity and the authenticity of the shtar by challenging the qualifications of the Edom, that challenge falls away because they were not bifneim. So the shtar is a good shtar, and you can collect on that shtar. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Rav Sheshes, I don't understand what you just said now. I will make a kal v'chomer or a kolshkein in the opposite direction. Says Rav Nachman, ilu have a kamon u'machishin lehu. What would happen if the first pair of Edom were still alive? And they're here in the Bezdin saying, yeah, we signed the shtar, everything is great. A new pair of Edom come and say about the first pair of Edom, yo, Yutaka signed it, there's no question about that, but you were Anusim, you were Psulim, you were Ktanim. So they're Makchish them. What would I say under those circumstances? You would agree, have Hakosha. Why would it be Hakosha? Because you said that as long as Bifneim, it's two against two, and it would knock each other out. And we would no longer count the first two Edom for their Edus, because we would say they've been nullified or neutralized two against two. Davle it is mukhashis. And therefore, what would be the din? That would mean that the shtar would be worthless. Because the shtar is only as valuable as the credibility or the authenticity of the edim signed on it. And if we're saying that those edim are disqualified, that means that the shtar doesn't have edim on it. And therefore the whole shtar would fall away. So says Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshes, you agree that if there would be two against two, and the original two edim were still alive, then this whole shtar would platz, it would fall away. So hashtu the lesnu, now that these two edim are not here, because Nebuch they passed away, deal havala come on, had they still been alive, maybe they would have agreed. In other words, maybe they would have been like Edom in our Mishnah of yesterday. Maybe the Edom would have said, yes, it's true. Kesav Yodeinu Huzeh, Avala Anusim Hayinu, Ketanim Hayinu, Psulim Edom Hayinu. They would have agreed that they were Psulim at the time. So in that case, you're going to tell me, Mehemni, that the Shtar is a good Shtar. In other words, if the two original Edom were here, and you are makrish them bifneim, you agree that this shtar would no longer be valid because the two against two nullifies the whole situation. The shtar is now worthless. Ah, so now that they're not here, now you're saying, oh, the shtar is great. What do you mean that they're not here? If they were not, what would happen if they had been here? Maybe they would have agreed that their edus was mukheshes, that their edus was edus of psulim and anusim and ketan. And then, for sure, then everybody agrees that this shtar has no authenticity. And yet you're saying, Mehemni, the new pair of Edom are believed, and not the new pair of Edom, that the shtar is good and you can use it to go and be toiveya. So Rav Nachman says, it doesn't make sense to say that this shtar is kosher because of the fact that you can't be makhish, the first pair of Edom. And therefore says, Elom Rav Nachman, Uki treva hadi treva uki mamoina becheskas morei. What the Bryce is really saying is, Hari elu ein ne'emmanim, the first pair of edim that are challenging the signatures of the original edim, not that you're challenging the authenticity of the signatures, but they're challenging the qualifications of the edim that signed originally on the shtar, they are not ne'emman, and therefore because they are not ne'emman, what do I have now? Meaning that those that signed, that are challenging, they're not neman. And what's the din now? Not like the Gemara said, that we can go and be gova, we can use the shtar to be gova, but to the contrary, the two against two, ishtayim against ishtayim, they neutralize each other, they nullify each other, and therefore you cannot collect on the basis of this shtar at all. Zero. So what happens now? Then it's hamoitze mechaber olav araya, and whoever is muhsik in the mamon will win the case, unless the other person is able to bring a raya. So normally who would be the muhsik over here? The malva would be the muhsik. Or in the case of the sale of the property, it would be l'chayrda, lokeach would be the muhsik. Whoever
the lova be the muhsik.
I'm sorry, once again?
The lova, shouldn't the lova be the muhsik? The lova is holding on to the money.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. I apologize. You're right, Brother Shai. Loiva would be the muhsik because the malva is trying to get payment from the loiva. He would be the muhsik. You're absolutely right. What our Gemara is telling us is what happens if, unaware of the loiva, the malva went and jumped and he was toe-face, he grabbed $200 or $100, whatever the choif was, and he took it for himself, and now the loiva wants to get it back, then the malva would be the muhsik, whoever holds on to the money at this time. And therefore, says the Gemara, we have no amachloikis, how we understand pshat in that original braisa that we started off. We started off with the braisa that if the ksavyad, we have a shtar that's up in dispute in Bezdin, a dispute between Lamoshel and Malv and Aloifet. Is the shtar good and not shtar good? The two people that signed on the shtar, Nebuch, passed away. Two other Edom come and say, we know those two signatures, they're absolutely the correct signatures of the original two Edom. However, they were Psulim, they were Ktanim, etc., etc. If those were the only Edis in town, Hari Elu Ne'amanim. However, if there were other Edom, or if there was other evidence that this shtar is a kosher shtar, then we would discount what the first Adam said about the qualifications of the signers, and we would say, Ein Eilin Emana, forget about those first pair of Adam. And the Gemara said, why do you forget about it? Why didn't you say it's Shtayim against Shtayim? So Rav Sheshet says, I'll tell you why you don't say Shtayim against Shtayim. Because they're being Machish. A Machish is a form of Hazama, and they got to be Mifneim. The first two Adam never passed away, so you can't be Machishim. That's what Rav Sheshet said. Rav Nachman says, I respectfully disagree. You have here a situation of two against two, and in fact, it knocks out the Kashrus of this Shtar, because the whole Kashrus of this Shtar is based on the Adam that are signed below. However, the second pair of Adam say that those Adam were Anusim Hoyu, Psulim Hoyu, etc. So therefore the whole Shtar is knocked out. So what do you do now? You have now the Din of Chazakah. Who's holding on to the cash? As Brother Shai pointed out a minute ago, if the Loiv is holding on to the cash, then there's no way the Malga collecting unless he can bring new Adam, new evidence, etc. Or vice versa, if the Malva grabbed money from the Loiva, and the Loiva wants to get the money back, he's going to have to go and bring Edis that he is not indebted under that Shtar, and then he'll be able to get his money back. So whoever's the Muchzik is going to win the case. Jokti Gemara, that this is similar to Mididahava Anachsid Barshacha, just like the famous case of the Nechosim of Barshacha. Who is Barshacha? You see already from the word shatya, that the word shatya is related to the word shoita. Shoita means a person who is not totally stable, a person who is deranged. Now Bar Shatya, as we'll see in the Gemara in the moment, was not deranged at all times. At some times he was, the mind worked beautifully, and at other times he was just totally off, just totally deranged. And I'm sure many of us here in the Shir know people of that nature. Anyway, so Barshatya says the Gemara, Zobin Nichse. Right? Says Gemara again. Umrav Nachman, Ukitre Bahabitre, Ukimamoin Becheskis Mora, immediately have an Nechsid Barshatya, just like the famous case of the Nechosim Barshatya. What was the famous case? The Barshatya is Zobin Nichse. Barshatya went and sold a piece of real estate. Also, Beitre, two Edom came and said, Amri Kishu Shoite Zobin. When he sold it, he was not stable, he was deranged, and therefore he has the same status like a cheder shoyt for cotton, that this mechira was not valid. The also betray, and another two Adam came, the Amri Kishu Cholam Zavin. No. He was totally sane. We remember very clearly he was negotiating the deal, he knew exactly what he was doing, and therefore he sold it well. So what do you do now? Om Ravashi uketrei lehaditrei, v'uki mamoina becheskas bar shatya. What you're going to do is you're going to say the two pairs of Adam neutralize each other, so therefore they fall away. Assuming that Barshatya is the one that is holding on to the property, I know the Gemara says v'uki mamoina. That really doesn't sound right because we're talking about the sale of property. So you'll notice on the side instead of mamoina, it says uki ara. That we will put the property becheskes barshatya because we have a machlokes. Did he sell it? Didn't he sell it? Did he sell it? Didn't he sell it? Presumably he's still holding on to it, and the lokeach is taking barshatya in bezin and saying, "You sold it to me. Give me back my property, or give me my property. It belongs to me." Since we have two edim that say he was deranged at the time, and two edim say that he was okay at the time, the two nullify the two, and assuming that Barshatya was the one that was still in possession of the property, he keeps the property. It's in his chazaka. Says Yimara, v'li amaran, el de'isli chazaka de'avasa. That's only if we have a situation where Barshatya yarshined this property from his father. Avalesli chazaka de'avasa. However, if Barshatya didn't yarshin it, but rather Barshatya himself purchased the property a year ago or 5 years ago or whatever, in that situation, just like we have the question today, when he sold it, was he totally sane or was he deranged? At the time that he bought it, maybe he was deranged. And therefore, when he bought it, it didn't belong to him because a shoita can't be kona. So then you wouldn't say any longer that it's Becheskes Barshatya. Maybe it really belongs to the seller who sold it to Barshatya. So when can you say that uki mamoino or uki ara becheskus barshatya? Only that you know that at some point in history it really belonged to him without question. That is, he received it as Yerusha from his father. Now the question is, did he sell it? Didn't he sell it? Oh, that's up for grabs. We have two against two. Uki mamoina becheskus. More, in this case, will leave the property in the hands of Barashatya. So here too, says Rav Nachman, I don't know what to do now with this shtar. The shtar on the surface looks great. The chasimois look great. I could even prove the chasim is from another source. But I have another two edim that are coming and saying, no, these guys are nusim hoyu, psulim hoyu. No, it's two against two. The shtar, therefore, has no halachic significance. And whoever is now toface in the moment, whoever owns the moment, he's the one that's going to win the case, unless the other party is able to bring other evidence, other rayas. So now, therefore, the conclusion of this Gemara is we have a machlokes between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes holds to his guns that just like you can't be mazim elebefneim, you can't be makhish edim elebefneim, but Rav Nachman disagrees. By mazim, I agree with you. By makhish, it does not have to be bifneim. And in fact, says the Gemara, Omer Rebavo, we're almost halfway down the Ovid, Ein meziminus edim el bifneim. If you want to be mazim edim, then yes, it has to be bifneim, like Rashi brought at the top, v'od biv'olav, u'machishinus edim shaloi bifneim. You can even be makhish, even shaloi bifneim. And Rebavo, therefore, is paskening like Rav Nachman against Rav Sheshes. However, he adds one more nekuda, one more point. What happens if you are mazim edim shaloi bifneiam? Nehidazam aloi hava, although it will not be effective in terms of Torah's hazama, hakhosha miyahavi, but it will be effective in terms of hakhosha. So you're saying to yourself, well, what does that mean? That just sounds like legal sophistry. What does that mean that they're no good for hazama, but it's good for hakhosha? Says Rashi very simply, if, as a result of trying to be mazim them, you want to punish them, that they should have to go and pay, for instance, the amount of the choiv, or if these edim are testifying that Reuven Chas V'Sholem killed Shimon, and it turns out that they were not there in New York, they were in Chicago at the time, so therefore they're edim zamim, so we want to go and take them and Chas V'Sholem kill them, says the Gemara, you can only do that b'fneiim. If they're not b'fneiim, you cannot go and punish them. However, if you are mazim shloim b'fneiim, it's no worse than hakhosha, that at least we are dismissing their testimony based on the testimony of the edim hamazimim, who are saying that the first pair of edim were edim zomimim, they were in Manu Hayisem in Chicago. So it's not an effective hazama to be ma'anish, to punish, but it's an effective hakhosha to dismiss their edis. Zokim Moravite, Omamar. We're going back to the Loshon HaBraisa. Im yesh edim sheksav yodim huzeh, o shehoi ksav yodim yoytzim mokam acher, mishtar shekara olav irur, v'hochzak v'bezdin, einem manim. So the Loshon HaBraisa is a very interesting Loshon. It said, remember what happened. You had two edim that were signed on the shtar. They passed away a while ago. You have two edim that came and said, these are their signatures, but they were anusim hoyu at the time, or psulim hoyu at the time. Said the Braisa, if you have other evidence from, for instance, another pair of edim, or you have evidence because you're able to compare another shtar that has their signatures to this shtar, okay, so I don't need the first pair of edim, forget about them, we're going to rely on that other evidence. However, what is that evidence, said the Braisa? It's got to be a shtar, shikara olav ir, that there was already a dispute about the authenticity of the edim signing on the shtar, meaning that the loive challenged the chasimus and said, ah, this is counterfeit, this is a fraud. V'huchzik bebezdin, and the bezdin already had a dintoyer about this a year ago, 5 years ago, or whatever. And they said, it's good. They put their henpik on it, they put their certificate of authenticity, they authenticated the chasimais. In that case, ain't among them the first pair that are challenging the qualifications of the chasimais on the shtar, they are not believed. So says the Gemara, this is an interesting expression, that it was kara olav ir in, like kara olav ir loy. It's got to be Davke that there was a challenge to that other shtar, and that challenge was resolved favorably, that the signatures are good. Then you can use that as evidence for the shtar today. The silent of Asi, the Amr of Asi, in the kindness of shtar, the shtar shakarol of ir, v'huchzak v'bezdin. That's the way you got to do it. Because if you're just going to go and say, well, here I have another shtar that has those same chasimois, and the other shtar looks perfect, looks great, guess what? Maybe the chasimos on that shtar were also counterfeit. There could be a professional counterfeiter here in town, and he is signing many, many shtaris in the names of Yankel and Beryl, or Reuven and Shimon, and these are all counterfeit signatures. So the only way you can use another shtar as your evidence vis-a-vis the shtar today is if that other shtar has already been proven good and reliable and authentic signatures, then you can use it as evidence for the signatures today. All of that is good and fine if you have, in fact, such a shtar where, again, let's not get confused. We have the shtar that's today in Bezdin that somebody's challenging the chasimois. If you can go and prove the chasimois from another pre-existing shtar, and that shtar, that pre-existing shtar, was already itself disputed, and the Bezdin decided that it's kosher and it's fine, and now I compare the two sets of signatures, then it's good. What happens if you don't have a shtar like that, that was previously in dispute, and the Bezdin gave their henpeck and authenticated the chasimois? Aminerdo, in that case, then you have to have two shtaris. Ein mekayvin is a shtar, el mishteik subois, ein mishteik sodois. Shtei sodois doesn't mean fields, it means a shtar, for a shtar mekach, to go and sell a field, l'moshon. The more means to say is, because of the fact that I have to be concerned that not only the shtar in Bezdin may have counterfeit signatures, but another shtar that you're bringing me may also have, the signatures may look exactly the same. And you say, wow, I can authenticate the signatures from that other shtar. Maybe that shtar is also counterfeit signatures. Then you have to have at least, therefore, two. And in the case of the Soda, says the Gemara, it's not only that you have two shtaris, but two shtaris that we know were acted upon by the lokeach under the shtar, that he sat there in the field for 3 years, and b'shoyfi means b'shtika, without any dispute and without any challenge. So we know that those shtaris, in fact, are good, solid shtaris. Those you can use now as proof for the shtar that's today in dispute. When can you use two other shtaris, like we said, if you went and dug them up from another source? You called around town and you said, anybody have some old shtaris that have the chasimois of Yankel and Beryl? Please bring them here because we want to compare these signatures. Yankel and Beryl, unfortunately, have passed away, so there's no way we can ask them, so we want to compare it to another shtar. Maybe somebody else has a shtar. However, Miyar Atzmai means, for instance, if the Malve, or the Mocher of the property, he says, I'll show you, I got a whole bunch of shtaris with these signatures of Yankel and Beryl. I can take out a whole pile of them, 10 of them if you want. Then Loi, why not? Maishno Tachas Yad Atzmai the Loi, Dilmaziyuf and Mazayef. Because maybe this Mocher, or this Malve, he has tacked a whole pile of shtaris with the same signatures. He's the one that signed all of those signatures. He's a professional counterfeit guy, professional fraudster, and he signed 10 separate shtaris with the signatures of Yankel and Beryl, and he's the one that signed it. So you can't say, well, compare this shtar to the other shtar to the other shtar. They all look exactly the same because of the fact that he signed all of them in the names of Yankel and Beryl. So Frank Timor, if that's the case, Duma Ziyuf Isaiah, Mitachas Ide Yacher Nami. Oh, I misread the words. Maishno tachas yad atzmoi duloi dilma ziyuf v'mezayif mitachas yidei achar nami dilma ozul v'choza osi v'zayif. Maybe if you're going to bring now a shtar into Bezin that was held until now by a third party, maybe once again the mocher or the malve had seen that shtar in the past. He saw it 6 months ago, he saw it a year ago. He memorized the style of the signatures, and now he was mezayifet, and he went and redid those signatures himself on this shtar that is now in dispute in Beis Din. Isn't that the same thing? That's already a remote possibility. In other words, if he himself possessed those other shtaris, so then it would be easy for him to go and copy the signature from another shtar, right? He sees it in front of him, he'll try to do the same type of circling, the same type of style. He'll probably have to do it 25 times until he gets it done perfectly, but he'll try to mimic those other signatures. But just because he saw the shtar in somebody else's house or somebody else's safe, and he saw the signatures, to say that now he went and mimicked them without having the signatures in front of him, that's already a remote thing that would be difficult. Okay, now we come on to a different type of signature, a different type of situation. Here we're talking about a case of Eidim that are trying to refresh their memories based on notes that they took at the time of the original transaction. The Gemara holds that that is very problematic, because the pasuk says al pi shnayim o shloisha edim yakum davar, and the Gemara dashes al pi mi piem veloy mi pi ksavam. If you want to go and prove a case, you have to prove it based on the oral testimony, not on the written testimony. And see if it says the Gemara tanurban koisiv odem eduse al eshtar umeir alea afili acher kamishan. A person, for instance, was present at the time of a sale of a property, or the time of a halva'a, of a loan, and instead of signing on a loan document, he went and signed on a piece of paper. He made a note for himself on his diary that today, after the daf, there was a loan that took place, and I remember Reuven lent money to Shimon, and he wrote it down on a piece of in his diary. So, now, 10 years later, Shimon says to Reuven says to Shimon, no, pay me back. There was no loan document. But I remember that Yankel was there at the time. Yankel, come around, tell us what happened. Yankel says, I don't really remember what happened 10 years ago. I have difficulty remembering what happened 5 minutes ago. But let me look up my diary. He pulls out his diary, and yes, lo and behold, it says, I was there and I witnessed this loan. Says the Braisa, Koisiv Odom Idusa al Ashtar. He can write it down on a shtar, in other words, on a piece of paper, in his diary. Umeida Lea Fila Acher Kamishanim. Even 10 years later, he can be made on it. But Omer Vuna, Usha Zoichra Mi Atzmai. But he has to remember at least the macro. He doesn't have to remember all the micro details, but he has to go and remember in general. See, if you look at Rashi's Zoichra Mi Atzmai, Rashi's parallel to our Gemara. Beloy Re'ias Hashtar Nizker Ktsas Me'edusa Me'elav. He's got to remember at least something. Yo. I remember that there was a... I don't remember if it was $100, it was $50. I don't remember whether Reuven was wearing a tie that day and whether Shimon was not wearing a tie. I don't remember the details. I don't remember if it was a Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. But one thing I remember, yeah, there was some sort of love. Ah, so therefore he's allowed to go now and fill in the blanks by looking at his diary, looking at the shtar that he wrote down the details. Rabbi Yochanan goes one step further. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Avla Pisha'ein Zoichra Mi'atzma. Even if he doesn't remember, the Rashi says it doesn't mean he doesn't remember anything. He has to remember at least something, so that he didn't remember anything before he looked at his diary. But when he looked in his diary, he says, Yo, now I have refreshed my recollection by looking at the diary. But even if after looking at his diary he still doesn't remember anything, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that would not be good eikos. Amar Rabba, Shema Minam Rabbi Yochanan, Hani Beitrei, two Eidim, Diyalim Sadusa, that no Eidus, Uminchi Chad Minayu, and one of the two forgot the Eidus, Midker Chad Lechavrei, one of the two, in other words, the second Eid, can remind the first Eid. You have Yankel and Beryl, they both were Eidim at the time. Yankel, it's already 10 years later, doesn't remember. Beryl says, Yankel, don't you remember? We were together that day, and it was right after the daf, and Reuven asked Shimon for a loan, and he gave him the money, blah, blah, blah. Yo, now that you remind me, yes, I remember. Iboilehu, atzmoimai. What happens if it's not that one Eid reminds the other Eid, but rather the Baal Din, in this case, Lamashal Le Malveh, goes over to the aid or the Edom and says, Yankel Perel, don't you remember that I lent money to Shimon back in 2012, 10 years ago? Yankel Perel said, I don't really remember. Well, let me remind you, we were learning that day, it was Daf Chof in Ksubis, and remember, it was a Gishmak Asugya, and we went back and forth, Machloikas, Reb Sheshes, Reb Nachman, then Reb Avo said, I learned, like, yo, now that you're reminding me the Daf, I remember the Daf. Well, right after the Daf, he was alone. Yo, now that you're reminding me, I remember. Says our Gemara, Iboilu Atzmai Mai, can you allow for the refreshing of that person's memory be based on the Baldin, based on the Malva? Because obviously the Malva is going to feed him with information. He's going to say, don't you remember, and I gave him nice, crisp, $10 bills, 10 of them, $100 altogether. Yeah. So Iboilu Atzmai Mai. Rav Chaviva Omer Afilu Atzmai, yeah, even Atzmai is okay, as long as he refreshed his memory. I don't care how he refreshed his memory, but the important thing is he knows, he remembers the Eidus. Marbre Rav Ashi, Omer Atzmai Loi, no, it's got to be that he found out from other independent sources, either he wrote it in his diary, or that the other aide reminded him, his wife reminded him, but you can't go and rely on the one of the Balidinim reminding him, because after all, that person is going to feed him with information which may or may not be accurate. That in fact, if it's the Baal Din that's feeding the information, that you cannot rely on. However, if the aid is a Talmud Chochem, afilu atzmai, then he can rely on refreshing his memory from what the Baal Din is telling him. Why is that? Says Rashi, because we assume that a Talmud Chacham has the highest standards of honesty and integrity, and he is not going to go and say Eidos unless he is convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt, or at least beyond reasonable doubt, that what his Eidos is saying, that the testimony that he's going to testify is in fact 100% accurate, and therefore that's why you can rely on the Talmud Chacham after all. And the more tells us a story. Rav Kahana was one of the Balidinim in a Din Torah, and he called up Rav Ashi and said, Rav Ashi, please, I need you to go and testify. You remember you were there at the time of the loan, at the time of the sale. Please come and testify. Amalei, so the Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, Midochim Mar Hai Sadusa, do you remember the Eidus? Do you remember the transaction that took place? I'm afraid I don't remember. So then Rav Kahana started feeding him. Don't you remember it was on Tuesday morning? It was right after the daf, and there was a sale, there was a loan. Don't you remember? No, I have no independent recollection. However, after that, Rav Ashi did remember. In other words, Rav Ashi worked on himself, and he started pounding his head and started trying to remember everything that happened that morning 10 years ago, until he finally remembered the details on his own. Says the Gemara, Asidlei, he came into Bezdin on behalf of Rav Kahana to go and say Eidus. Chazal Rav Kahana damamachsim, and he saw that Rav Kahana wanted to stop Rav Ashi from saying Eidus, based on, Rav Ashi, you told me you don't remember anything on your own. It's only based on the information that I'm feeding you. But we already said in the Amud Aleph, if it's Me'atzmoy, if it's the Baal Din that fed you the information, that's not enough. That's no good. You have to have independent recollection. Says Rav Ashi, Omalei, Misabris, Aloch Kosemichna, you think that I'm relying on the information that you told me? If that's the only thing that I was relying on, Chas V'Sholem, I would not come into Beis Din. That would not be good Eidus. For the last 3 or 4 days, I've been saying a lot of Tehillim, I've been pounding my heart, I've been pounding my head, until finally I remembered, yes, in fact, it was a loan, and I remember how much it was, and I remember exactly what happened and what time it was. Yeah, based on that, that's why I'm saying Eidus. So with this, we've concluded that piece, and now we go off a little bit into Oiholos, which is a, as you know, a difficult mesechta in Seder Taharis. Why are we going on into a halos? Because in this Mishnah, and in discussion about this Mishnah, we're going to talk about how long people's memory lasts. And that, of course, will therefore have ramifications that got the edus in a dentoira in Besdin. Says Yimar Tanan Hasam, we learned the Mesechtis Eholis. Hatlulios, and the word tlulios is the multiple form of the word tel. A tel is a mound. A mound, as you know, is not a large mountain, it's not a large hill, but it's enough of a mound, says Rashi, that if a person approaches that mound, he's not going to try to travel and walk on top of it. He's going to avoid it. So if he's walking, he's going to walk around the mound, and if he's in a car, he's going to drive around the mound. You're not going to go on top of the mound because it's just too tall. It's no reason to go on top of it. That's a tell. So now, hakroivois bein le'ir bein le'derech. If this tell is close to either a city or to a road, we'll see in a moment what city and what road we're talking about. Echad chadoshes v'echad yishonis. Say, if this tell is a brand new tell, in other words, I travel this road all the time, and I don't remember seeing this tell until now, or it's Yisharas, yeah, it's an old tell, it's an old tell story, I remember this tell already from many years ago, says the Gemara, Temeis. I have to be concerned that perhaps buried in this tell is, Rachman Litzlan, a corpse, a mess. And as the Gemara is going to tell us shortly, it doesn't have to be necessarily a full-fledged mess. It could be nebuch that a woman who was mapel, she had a miscarriage, and there was a viable fetus, which is nebuch, buried under this tell. So therefore, anybody who is approaching, touches the tell, or walks on top of the tell, will be either mael, or perhaps be noigea, be tumas mess, and therefore, it has a status of tumas. Harachoykois, those are atlulias hakroivois, right? The Mishnah start off their karev, they're close. Harachoykois, those that are far away. Now, what's the difference between close and far away? We're going to see in a moment in Machloikis, Reb Meir, and Reb Yehuda. But if they're far away, chadoshes tohirois, if they're brand new tells, then you can assume no mess was buried underneath there. And if it's Yishonav, if it's an old tell, then Timaeus, you do have to be concerned that there is a mess there after all. Now, Ezu Kroiva, what's considered to be close? Chamishim Amma. If it's within 50 Amis of either the city or of the derech of the path, of the road. Ve'ezi Yishana, when we said that there's a difference between Chadoshis and Yishanais, Yishanais means that it's old. How old is old? Shishim Shana Dibre Meir, 60 years old. Wow. I know all of it at the moment sounds pretty mysterious. We're going to explain every detail in the Gemara shortly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kroiva Shein Kroiva Heimena. When we say Kroiva means that there's nothing closer than that. It's not a 50 Amma rule. You could have, for instance, within 50 Ammas from the road, two such tells. One which is 10 Ammas away and one which is 50 Ammas away. So then I would discount the 50 Ammas away and I would say, that's a Rechoika. And therefore, if it's Chadoshois, it's Tohar. The one that's 10 Amis from the road, that's the Kroiva. The one that's closest to the road, that's the one that I am Choshish, that there might be a mess underneath it. What means Yeshana? Shein Odom Zoichra, that nobody remembers it anymore. It's not a specific 60 years rule. We ask all the local people that live around there and the people that travel around there, do you remember when this tell came into being? Nobody has any recollection. That's what we mean by Yeshanas. Okay. Zokti Yomara. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara explains. My ir, my derech. What do we mean that it happens to be either Karev or Rochik from the city or from the path? Ilay me'ir, ir mamish, derech, derech mamish. Do we mean that any city throughout Eretz Yisrael where there happens to be such a tell, or any road in Eretz Yisrael where there is such a tell, we're going to go and say, there's a good chance that there might be a mess inside that tell, and therefore avoid it because it's a mokim tumah. Because of a suffix, we're going to assume that there is tumah. The Bari is immediately going to say, what do you mean? This is tumah b'shus harabim. And suffix tumah b'shus harabim is always tohar. But the Gemara goes even one step further. Va'omer Reish Lakish. Ilam Matzah V'Tiaru Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara doesn't go into the details, but elsewhere there's a Reish Lakish. The Gemara is in Masechtas Nozir, where there was some sort of shaila about whether there was tumma or tahara in a given place, and says Reish Lakish, we don't want Chas V'Shalom to spread tumma in Eretz Yisrael. So if there's any way that we can justify, any way that we can give an excuse that there was no tumma, we're going to go grab onto that, so the Eretz Yisrael shouldn't have a din like Eretz Amim, wherever you walk is potentially tummy. So even Matzav Tiro Eretz Yisrael. So we certainly wouldn't want to go and say that every time that there's a mound off the side of the road or next to a city within 50 amas, according to Reb Meir, that it's a suffix tumma. How can you say something like that? That you're going to make 90% of Eretz Yisrael is going to become tummy. You have mounds all over wherever you go. So you can't do that. So Amram Zeira, we're not talking about any city. We're talking about an ir hasmucha lebeis hakvaris. We're talking about a city that is close to a cemetery. The derech is derech beis hakvaris. We're talking about a specific path or road that leads into the cemetery. So if you find a tell next to that city or next to that path, you have to be concerned. So let's go the next step. Bishloim derech beis hakvaris. You know why? You know what must have happened? Explains Rashi. There's a Levaya Friday afternoon. And they're going on that path, figuring that by the time they get to the Beis HaChaim, they bury, they say Kaddish, all whatever you got to do, they'll still have enough time to get home before Shabbos. However, this day was a stormy day. It was raining, it was snowing, and there was a lot of traffic. By the time they're getting even close to the Beis HaChaim, they said to themselves, we're not going to make it back home. It's just not going to happen. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to at least temporarily bury this body in a tell. Tell in a mound so that nobody should touch it. Nobody should go and get close to it. They'll see there's a big mound. Nobody's going to walk on top of the mound or drive on top of the mound. And we're going to go and bury the body there. And then we're going to go home and then hopefully we're going to go and rebury it. And as you know, in many of these situations when you have intentions to redo something, once you have a temporary fix, the temporary fix becomes a permanent fix. And in fact, Nebuch, the body is still lying there under that tell, which is next to the derech of the Beis HaKvaris. So Bishlam Derech Beis HaKvaris, the Zimnan of Misrami, sometimes it's going to happen that you have a Levaya Ben HaShemoshes, Rashi says Ben HaShemoshes on Erev Shabbos, and they see that it's getting late and we're not going to make it home in time. Umikru Kavru Betel. And therefore, you had a mikra, you had this type of occurrence, that they buried the body in a tell, and that's why the tell is tumah. El ir hasmucha lebeis hakvaris, kul lebeis hakvaris azli. Why would anybody go and bury a body in right next to the ear, which is close to the beis hakvaris, go the next step, go into the beis hakvaris and go and bury it? Why would you go and bury in a tell next to the city, which is next to the beis hakvaris? Amrav Chanina, mitoich shanoshim koivrois shom niflehen umukishchin zroyaseyen ad chamishim amma ozla ihi lechuda tvei dabre inish bahada. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say is, what happens if you have a lady that never had a nephil? She's not interested in a lot of publicity. She just wants to bury the nephil. Same thing, you have a mukishchin, never a person who has all different types of diseases, and Nebuch, he is an amputee, or Nebuch, his one of his limbs fell off because of his weakened stage, and he wants to go and bury it. And Rashi tells us that an Eiver min haChai is metame like an Eiver min haMes, a Gemara that we learned back in Chulin a couple of years ago, and a Mishnah we'll get back to once again. So the Nefel or the Eiver min haChai that were buried, they are metame. So now the Gemara says, the lady, she would love to go and bury in the Beis HaKvaris, but it was far away, and a lady doesn't want to go all by herself, because you never know, there might be shkotzim and hoodlums around. So she's nervous, and rightfully so. And the same thing, Nebuch, this mukashchin, Nebuch is also in a diseased state. So, ad chamishim amma, if there is a tell next to the city, which is next to the Beis HaKvaris, there is a tell over there, Azla, she's able to go 50 amas, but more than 50 amas, she's nervous to go further. Okay, so ad chamishim amah azla ihi lechudosh. She's willing to go by herself. Tvei, if it's more than 50 amas away to get to the Beis HaChaim, to get to the cemetery, dabra inish bahado, then she would go and take a person together with her, you know, someone to escort her. So it would be two ladies or a lady and a man together. Well, the Beis HaKvaris Oslan, then they would go all the way to the Beis HaKvaris. However, if in fact she had nobody to go with her, so until 50 amas, she's willing to go. She had no other person to assist her, so she just buried the baby inside the stel, and the same thing applies to the Mukishrin, buried his roya, his Nebuchadnezzar's severed arm, inside Nebuchadnezzar's stel, which was next to the city, next to the Beis HaChaim. What do we see from this? Hilchos Tumah Eretz Yisrael and Mechazkinah. We try not to go and spread Tumah Eretz Yisrael to the extent that we can, so that's why only if it happens to be within 50 amas of either the road to the Beis HaChaim, or to the city that leads to the Beis HaChaim, only then am I concerned about that type of tell. Otherwise, we try not to spread Tumah, we try to spread Tahara in Eretz Yisrael. Now, all of that is a fascinating discussion. Let's get back to our Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Shema Minu Rav Meir. Since Rav Meir said at the outset in the Mishnah, that what's the difference between Chadoshos and Yishonos? Now, in fact, the Gemara didn't go through the whole explanation why there's a difference between Chadoshos and Yishonos. Let's go back to the Mishnah at the outset. You see about 10 lines from the top. If it happens to be a new tell, or if it happens to be an old tell, it makes no difference. They have a din of tumah. But rechoikos, chadoshes tahoiros, yishonos tumeis. Now what's the difference between chadoshes and yishonos? So Rashi explains very simply. If there's something which is chadosh, presumably everybody would know about it. If there was a levaya that took place a month ago or 6 months ago, everybody's, oh sure, I remember. And they taka buried the body there in this tell, and everybody would remember it because it was something that happened in recent memory. If it's from many years ago, the mayor says many years ago means up to 60 years ago, then there's nobody around anymore that would remember that originally there was no tell, and then after that they never buried a body and put a whole heap of dirt of earth on it and made a ganze mound. More than 60 years, people are not going to remember that type of situation. So now, if it happens to be korov le'ir, even if it's brand new mound that I don't remember ever seeing before, it could be that that's nebuch from the lady that had a nefil, or the mukeshchin that was burying his aver min hachai, and they buried it, and then they covered it over and they made a brand new mound. And the reason why I never heard about it is because this was done in a, if you will, in a private ceremony by the mother that Nebuch had this nefil, or by this mukeshchin, and they weren't looking for publicity. In the case, however, of rechoikos, if it's more than 50 amas away, like Reb Meir was saying, then you wouldn't find a woman going out beyond 50 amas to go and bury her nefil, and same thing mukeshchin. So therefore, if it's more than 50 amas away, if it's chadoshos, it's tahoros. It's a brand new tell. Since I didn't hear about any burial, and since women would be very cautious and nervous about going more than 50 amas, it's tahor. If it's yishonos, it's already old. Maybe there's a mess and just nobody remembers because it took place 60 years ago. And nobody remembers the levaya, and nobody remembers the time pre this tell. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, five lines before the Mishnah down below. Omer of Chizish, Mamin, Omer of Meir. Haisa, dusa, chitin, shonin, midker. That people have a memory that goes back 60 years, tfeiloi midker. So if you go and ask a person who's 80 years old, do you remember that 60 years ago there was a loan that took place? If it's within 60 years, he'll remember. But if it's 61 years ago, he won't remember. Just like people don't remember about the tell and about the levaya. So up to 60 years, people have their own memories and recollections. So to move along, however, the raya that you're bringing from that Mishnah is really not a good raya. Because in that case, the person is not focusing his attention as a potential witness 60 years later. He just happens to go past, you know, unfortunately people pass away from time to time. Most people pass away only once. And then Nebuchadnezzar buried. And then you remember it for a few years. And, you know, and then years later, and you're saying, was I at the Levaya? I don't remember. Let me think again. Yes, no, maybe so. That's because you're not intending to go and testify about this years later. However, if you happen to be an aid at the transaction, presumably at that point, you're going to go and focus on the details. When you focus on something, the likelihood is that you'll remember that many, many years more than if just it was stam something going on, right? I walk down the street and maybe I recognize somebody walking down the street on the other side of the street. Maybe yes, maybe not. Because I wasn't really focusing attention. I was just walking there. Yeah. However, if you were taken to the corner of the street and said, please look at that fellow across the street. He happens to be suspected of an armed robbery. Or he is a person that made a loan or something. Then you're going to focus on the details and look very carefully at the individual. See here too. What the Gemara is saying is, in the case of the Levaya, whether there was a tell there or not, whether there was a Levaya there or not 60 years ago, after 60 years, I'll forget. However, if there was a loan that took place, or some crime that took place, where I was focusing attention, good likelihood that years and years later, I'll be able to still spell out all the details. I remember exactly what happened. I was there, and I looked at my watch, and it was 8:15, and I remember the blah, 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 blah. Avhocha, kivin derami alei, afilu tuvenami. Even more than 60 years, a person could and should remember what happened years ago. And with this, we conclude today's daf. And if there are any questions, it's great. Otherwise, meet you tomorrow morning once again at 8:05. Look forward to seeing all of you in good health and Yirtzeh Hashem. Have a good day. Be well, everyone. Kol tov. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining, everyone.
Goodbye.